Get your day started right. This is BLC Breakfast with Gulam Fakir and Sabiro Sheikh Yeso. Only on the Voice of the Cape.
So, where are we? 7-Eleven this morning is where we're at. If you've just joined us, welcome into it. Nice to have you with us. And we're moving along to our next feature. So, like we alluded to a little earlier on, and we were mentioning, is doing the rounds on the front page of the Cape Argus. It's on social media as well. And yesterday, our news team, particularly our editor, Thasneem Adams, broke the story of a young woman who has come forward detailing a horrible and traumatic story of years of sexual abuse, according to the woman, at the hands of her grandfather, who is, according to reports, a well-known member of the Cape Muslim community. Now, a video of her story has gone viral on social media, but joining us in studio this morning to share with us the story thus far is our editor, VOC News editor, Thasneem Adams. Salaam alaikum. Good morning. Welcome, Thasneem.
Wa alaikum salam, Sabira Ghulam and the team. Yeah, certainly very trying circumstances, and it doesn't feel good being here this morning, being able to speak about this. You know, certainly yesterday I just felt, after watching this video, you know, can 2020 just be over already? I just felt so defeated by this year and what we've seen and what we've covered. And certainly, I mean, this story has really, really shook the Muslim community.
So, Thasneem, I mean, what do we know about the story thus far?
Well, like you mentioned, Sabira, the video went viral yesterday morning, and this woman came forward to speak about alleged abuse by a grandfather who is a prominent Cape Town former principal, educator, well-known community leader. She reveals that she was allegedly sexually abused as a child by one of them. She also referred to her grandfather's brother, who's also an alleged abuser, and she specifically speaks about her experience with her paternal grandfather. She also reveals that both men have allegedly been abusing girls for decades, and she speaks of women in their 30s, their 40s, some their 20s, their teens, who have endured this abuse, and that have, she's been in contact with them, and she's spoken to them, or she's aware of these experiences. The most recent alleged abuse occurring in last year as well. And she shares an experience about, you know, what happened to her at the age of 5 years old. And I don't want to go too much into the details of that because it's quite explicit. But she raises the fact that, you know, she spoke about this 3 years ago, actually, on social media. And if you do some research, you'll see that she did, in fact, raise this about 3 years ago. And she didn't want to put it out publicly, but according to her, the alleged abuse didn't stop. So she feels that, you know, he was never held accountable for his actions. She speaks about alleged abuse within the family and their wives' families. So for her, it wasn't easy. And, you know, people have the perception that these individuals are very respected, they're prominent, but because of the gravity of these particular crimes, she felt she was pressured sort of not to say anything. When she raised these issues last year, she says in the video she was told to get over it, to move on. Because it's in the past. And she said she got so many responses, you know, from people saying, look, but they're doing so much for the community, they're so active, they're also very elderly, you know, what use would this do now? So for her, it's been decades and nothing has been done. She decided to put it out there to make other people aware, because apparently these individuals are still very much involved in the community. They still, I think they still tutor, you know, young learners. So for her, it was to protect other children as well, given the fact that they are still, you know, on the ground, etc. And so she speaks about the fact that, you know, they come across as very trustworthy and charismatic, and she makes a very good point, and this is something we often hear from the experts online, that there's a lack of understanding of what sexual abuse is and sexual grooming, because you have a particular perception of what a perpetrator should be like. So she talks about how the perpetrator will get you to trust them, and obviously this is a person that she had a lot of trust in. I mean, he's a close relative. So for her, you know, it was very difficult for her to speak about it without feeling any sense of guilt or shame. She speaks about the fact that he had allegedly told told her that he wanted to have sex with her, even though she had no concept of what that actually is. So you can actually see, I mean, you've watched the video, Sabina, yeah. You see the discomfort.
Yeah.
You actually feel an anxiety when you're watching her, you know, the pace at which she speaks, you know, the fact that she takes long to, she takes deep breaths and she struggles to actually articulate what she's saying. And it's very, very uncomfortable to watch. So like I said, you know, she said there were attempts to hold him accountable last year. Nothing happened. Apparently, a grandfather was supposed to be under house arrest. I don't know what that means, under house arrest particularly, but nothing came with that as well. And then she makes a very good point in saying, you know, that silence empowers the abusers and people have to speak out. And this is why, you know, she took it upon herself to raise this issue. And then she confronted it last year. And like I said, nothing happened. And this led her to obviously say something again in the public domain. I had a chat with a brother briefly yesterday because I wanted to know, look, can we get in contact with her? I'd like to hear the story from her directly.
Yeah.
He said she was reluctant to speak at this stage. I think obviously there's a lot of pressure at the moment, you know, they've been bombarded with calls. I asked whether they had laid charges. He said they had planned to last year, but they were advised against this. Says he wasn't specific.
Okay.
He was very cautious about what he could say, obviously, given that this is a very sensitive issue. But he did say that he too had confronted his grandfather, and that according to him, his grandfather actually admitted to it.
Hold on quickly. So according to the brother, the grandfather had admitted to it.
Yes.
And then they were still advised not to lay charges.
Yes. Of course, I did try to get in touch with both the men that have been accused. I tried relentlessly to get hold of the grandfather. There was no answer. I managed to speak to his brother. He was obviously not going to speak to me. He just said he is considering legal action. That was all that he could say. I'm aware that, you know, the issue is obviously being investigated by the Muslim Judicial Council. I hope that they are going to be on air soon, or at least issue a statement, because they are busy with the gender-based violence campaign. It's, you know, I've spoken to several people within the community. They are obviously shocked. People that know them well, people that have worked within the education sector, they're completely shocked. People have condemned the abuse. A lot of people online lauding this woman for her bravery and saying, you know, obviously commending her for standing up and raising awareness in this sort of thing. I mean, it takes a lot for somebody to actually speak about, you know, the alleged sexual abuse, knowing full well the consequences and the stigmas attached to this sort of thing. Certainly it's been a very difficult story to cover. I think that what I did find interesting was, you know, people saying that, you know, the problem in the Muslim community is that we sweep things under the rug.
Absolutely.
And we don't hold those people to account, especially if they are people of high status.
Yes.
And when we hold status to a higher elevation than principle, one person was saying the most vulnerable will suffer. So I thought that was a really interesting comment that I saw online on the video itself. And a person is saying, look, now it's time to change that. Another person saying, you know, the video is so disturbing, but it's so necessary to bring light to the abuse which happens every single day in our communities. I believe this woman and I can hear the truth in her voice. That was another one of the comments that I saw. So, yeah, I understand community members, as far as I know, they're discussing, you know, how they're going to deal with the situation, because there is a lot of public anger around this. It's a very sensitive issue, like I said. And I think for me, from the video again, you know, what was so significant is that she was at pains to say, look, this isn't about me. It's not about her. This is for the countless other victims that have experienced abuse. And she was saying that she's also worried about the fact that these individuals are still active. They're teaching young people. They're perhaps tutoring young learners. And potentially other young women could be exposed to some sort of abuse. So for me, that was quite sobering. I think that's what I took out of that. That was the motivation behind the whole awareness.
If I can just come in here very quickly, Tasneem. I mean, and you and I have been speaking about this yesterday as well, the minute we, you know, I saw this video, and you know what my action was to it. But, you know, I'm going back to the article that was published in the Cape Argus this morning. You know, in Facebook in October 2017, the woman said this was the first time, you know, since 2017 she came out, basically, you know, wanting people to know about it, wanting to come forth. This time around she started to mention names. Could it also then just be because she started mentioning exactly who they are and what it is that they've done to her, you know, in the video posted 2 days ago, could it be because she's reached that level where she just want to break through? She want because nobody's listening to her.
Absolutely.
You know, and so because that's the impression I got, you know, when I listened to it, I was like, this woman has been silenced for so many years, you know, and people are now perhaps holding her accountable for what it is she's done through this video. But at the same time, her hands was... Let me not say hands. She was a pun. Yeah, she was pushed into a corner. She was silenced throughout this process. Mm. And she's now taken to social media to sort of vent and just say, listen, this is what happened. And I don't necessarily think that she would do anything in malice or to do things deliberately to defame them in any way. But I think if the family had to deal with this at the offset, like she said, you know, she approached them, then things would have taken a different turn.
Yeah, I think, you know, from the outside, it's very difficult to say what approach the family took, because we don't know, you know, what discussions took place. But you do make a good point, Ghulam, about the fact that, you know, she took a power back. She decided, look, I need to take, I've had enough. I've reached ahead now. I've done whatever I could to try to, you know, address the situation from internally, and nothing has come from that. And I think that was one of the questions that actually came up, you know, why come forward now, especially given the fact that these individuals are very elderly, and you know what possible justice can come from that. That's what I saw many people are asking. The fact of the matter is that for many victims of sexual abuse or any form of abuse, it's never easy to come out and speak about that experience and to come confront it in the open. I mean, the experts will tell you these immense secondary trauma that comes with this sort of thing that they have to endure. There's the victimization and the stigmatization from family, from general society, from those around you. And very often perpetrators, you know, they bully their victims into silence.
Yeah.
They are led to think that, you know, they are the cause. They are at fault. Well, the victim, of course. And I don't like using that term victim, because I feel, you know, people that go through these things are more survivors than anything else. So,
but this name... It's interesting that you mentioned that as well, because, you know, when people come out and they speak about things like this, it is not just them sort of getting something off their chest or wanting the public to know about it, or for them it's obviously a healing process.
Exactly.
You know,
absolutely.
But at the same time, what I also got from this, and I'm getting actually hot talking about this thing, because every time somebody, whether it is this video, whether it is somebody else, is coming up, Allah forbids, nothing hectic, you know, or anything else surfaces, you know. But whenever anybody speaks about stuff like this, other survivors, like you would call them, Tasneem, they relive these experiences.
Yeah.
And that is the shit. That is the nonsense. The yeah, you know what I wanted to say. I'm sorry. For me, it's just that, you know, that there are so many things and so many things that we need to consider, but at the same time, every time somebody speaks out about things like this, it relives other people's memories. And I hope that other people who's been victim to this or survivors to this, they come out and also have the courage to speak out against them.
Now, 100%, Ghulam, I mean, it's a triggering experience. I mean, if it triggered me, imagine how it must have triggered every other victim of sexual abuse, having to sit through that and listening to the grueling details of what she went through. But like you said, it is a healing process, and speaking about it, and we as society actually need to normalize being able to speak about sexual abuse, because it is part of that the healing process. I mean, we can't just sit around silently as a community and sort of, you know, dig our heads in the sand about what's going on. And I think this is part of that conversation that we need to openly confront these sort of issues within our community. And I'm glad that at least people are now starting to have a conversation around that.
Listen, you're speaking about the community, and we've seen the online reaction, the public reaction. But let's speak about the community in the sense of, what is our responsibility now? I mean, if we she's speaking, according to her, she's speaking her truth. And according to this community, I mean, they've lauded her for taking a stand. But us as a community, as broadcasters, what is our responsibility? You know, a few weeks ago, one of the implicated individuals was on our platform. You know, we've seen the community call out these individuals for still being very influential in many avenues within, you know, community and within sectors. You know, when a person is accused of sexual abuse, when does the community take that seriously in terms of distancing itself from them?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, it is, like I said, it's a very complex issue. But certainly, I mean, as a media house or as a community, as journalists, we need to speak truth to power, and we need to be, unapologetic in sort of how we cover these issues, and because this is an issue that covers or is so complex and really affects all of us in society. But I think certainly our role is to educate the community to understand the impact of sexual violence, and like you said, doing more campaigns around, you know, how our conversations actually perpetuates the normalization of this sort of thing, and the fact that, you know, these, you know, one of the striking things that people were saying is that these things have been happening for years, and it's only now that people are starting to talk about it. So, like I'm saying, is normalizing that conversation and being able to, you know, just change the way people think about rape culture, because that is embedded in how we speak and how we converse and how we act around certain people.
Yes.
You know, so that is also part of how what we need to address. And I think the big thing, of course, is, like I said, and we've dealt with this issue so many times, the issue of patriarchy and, you know, people in influential positions and their power and how they abuse that power. That needs to be addressed. We need to be addressing that as a community. And I hope that the powers that be will start to, you know, start to be, you know, powerful activists or powerful agents of change instead of making that or changing that in our society. So, yeah, certainly.
I'm sure that you know you'll be keeping your finger on the pulse on the story, Tasneem, and you know keep us informed in terms of how it develops. So we're going to have to leave it there. Shukran for your time this morning, Tasneem Adams, our news editor, giving us some feedback with regards to the video that has gone viral on YouTube and on Facebook, where the young woman named her alleged abuser, who is also a well-known personality in the Bukop community.